Last Wednesday evening at midnight, we celebrated the passage of time, saying goodbye to the year 2014 and hello to the year 2015. This change in our calendars motivates us to assess our lives. We look at what we've accomplished over the past year. We ask ourselves if we're happy with how we've spent the last 365 days. We review our achievements. Some of us use the occasion to make resolutions, to behave differently, to be healthier, to be more productive, to find more satisfying ways to spend our time in the coming year. We ask ourselves, how should I be spending my time? And that leads to the question, well, what is the purpose of my life? Back in 2002, a minister named Rick Warren wrote a book called The Purpose-Driven Life. The book has been on the bestseller list for advice books for more than 10 years, selling more than 30 million copies. According to Reverend Warren, the purpose of life is to convert people to Christianity. He writes that his father was a minister for more than 50 years. At the end of his father's life, when he was very ill, Rick Warren's father kept saying, "Got to save one more for Jesus. Got to save one more for Jesus." From his sick bed, Rick Warren's dad said the phrase probably 100 times, "Save one more for Jesus." And Reverend Warren has made this the theme of his own life. This is the purpose that drives him. He wants all of us to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior and then go out and bring others to Jesus. Reverend Warren believes that once Christians convert enough people, Jesus will return, bringing a great golden age to the earth, a happy time of world peace. I, of course, do not believe any of this. Nevertheless, like Rick Warren, I have tried to do things that I hope will meet with my parents' approval. My parents were active members of a Unitarian Universalist church. I became a Unitarian Universalist minister back when I was 26. And I became so in part because although my mother died when I was only 14, I think she would have approved of my choice. I know that my father approved. In fact, he was the person in my life who first suggested that I become a minister. Well, is this the purpose of my life? Is this how I should spend my time? To please my parents? Is this how I should use the time that I have? Well, if I become self-aware, I realize that I am driven to please others, such as my parents, conscious that I'm doing this, then this self-awareness opens the possibility that I might freely choose to do something else with my life. Perhaps become a hang gliding instructor or something. Well, why do I do what I do? Obviously, most life forms work to stay alive. The creative forces program most of us to fear death and to strive to survive. We gather and prepare food. We find safe water and comfortable shelter. We fight disease, and some of us have babies. One answer to the question, what purpose drives us, is to say that we use the time we have to continue the survival of the human race. Of course, we do terrible, destructive things, such as wars and global warming. However, I think most of us do our destructive acts out of ignorance. Our basic impulse is to produce food, shelter, and reproduce so that the human race will continue. In spite of our self-destructive behaviors, the human population is growing. Furthermore, the moral values we work for enhance the survival of the human race. Equity, justice, dignity, compassion, democracy, peace, all of these make our survival more likely. Throughout history, for many people, just trying to survive and reproduce was all that they could manage. Consider, for example, my great-great-grandparents who lived on a farm in the Ukraine. They were married in 1842. Their first child was born in 1843 and died 5 days later. Their second child was born in 1844 and died 2 months later. Their third child was born in 1845 and died at the age of 13. Their fourth child was born in 1847 and died 2 weeks later. Their fifth child was born in 1848 and died 3 months later. Their sixth child was born in 1850 and died in 1922. In other words, their first five children died before one lived into adulthood. In total, they had 12 children, and seven of the 12 died before the age of 14. For them, the purpose of life was simply to survive and to try to keep their children alive. By working hard and by moving from Europe to America, my ancestors gave me a life that is far more comfortable than any life they had. So in a way, I feel I owe them to make good use of my time, given the struggles they went through to make it possible for me to be here. My basic survival needs of food, shelter, and health care have been met. I've raised three children without any of them dying. Having solved the survival problem, how should I then use what time I have? Well, I did some research, and in a study of how Americans spend their time, researchers asked people to rate the things that they do based on the things they enjoy the most. It turns out that the activity people most enjoy is sex. Which, of course, is necessary for the survival of the species. Number two, followed closely behind sex, is playing sports like golf or tennis, activities that keep our bodies healthy for number one. After sex and sports comes fishing as the third most enjoyable activity. Now, this was supposedly a cross-section of Americans. I don't know if that would fit for Unitarian Universalists, but fishing is the third most enjoyable activity. Now, eating protein and omega-3 oils from fish also keeps us healthy. Number four, after fishing comes art and music. These activities are a little more difficult to tie directly to survival. Although Darwin felt that humans use music to attract a mate, the same way that birds do. After art and music, people enjoy going to bars and lounges. And again, this is a mating activity. Number six, after bars, we enjoy playing with children, talking and reading to children. Now, this is a survival issue because, of course, passing on our knowledge to children is essential for the survival of the human race. It's a major activity, If we all live to be 100 years old on average, this means we only have 100 years to learn everything that has ever been learned by the human race. And after we learn everything, we, in this 100-year period, must pass it all on to the next generation before we die. Obviously, the larger our store of knowledge, the more difficult it becomes to learn it all and then pass it all on to the next generation. And this difficulty may be why the task of talking to children and reading to children was ranked after going to bars and lounges. Seventh, after talking and reading with kids, three activities tied in the survey as equally enjoyable for the average American. These were all equal: going to movies, sleeping, and going to church. Of course, with our wonderful screen here, you can come to church, watch a movie, and fall asleep. In this way, tripling your enjoyment. Now, I think all these activities are good as long as we are not hurting others. However, are these activities the purpose of human life? After we meet our basic survival needs, is the purpose of life to entertain ourselves through sex, golf, tennis, fishing, art, music, bars, lounges, reading to children, going to movies, going to church, and sleeping? In his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, Reverend Warren wrote, "It's not about you. The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. It's not about you." And here I agree with Reverend Warren. I do not think that when the universe started 13 billion years ago, the purpose of life was only to evolve, to survive, and to find happiness through pleasure. The purpose of our life is far greater than our own personal fulfillment, our own peace of mind, or even our own happiness. So, you're probably wondering, what is our purpose? I've developed my own answer to this question, my own understanding of why we are all here. I do not insist that you embrace my view or be damned. It is just that I've been looking at my life and the lives of others through this framework of thought for about 20 years now, and I found it to be quite useful. In one sentence, I believe human life exists to understand the universe. Life does not only strive to survive, it also strives to build bigger brains, which we use to comprehend the universe. Consider these examples. In 1553, a Unitarian named Michael Servetus described how the circulation of the blood works. In 1687, a Unitarian named Sir Isaac Newton described the laws of motion, laws of gravitation, and the basis for classical physics. In 1778, a Unitarian minister named Joseph Priestley described oxygen. In 1859, Charles Darwin, who had been raised a Unitarian until his mother died when he was 8, described the theory of evolution by natural selection. In 1930, a Unitarian named Clyde William Tombaugh discovered the planet Pluto. And in 1989, a Unitarian Universalist named Sir Tim Berners-Lee invented the World Wide Web. Obviously, I picked these examples to highlight the role that Unitarians and Universalists have played. Many faith communities promote the growth of knowledge, but this is one of our specialties. We have built many of our churches near major educational institutions. On average, our members have the highest IQ scores, and our kids have the highest SAT scores. Of course, test scores don't mean that we're better than others. They only give evidence that we value learning. Many human efforts to gain understanding of life meet both our survival needs and the growth of knowledge. Medicine is the best example. It helps us survive, but it also helps us grow and understand the nature of life. But we spend an enormous amount of time and energy just exploring without any reason to believe that such exploring will help our survival. For example, in March of 2004, the European Space Agency launched a spaceship. 10 years later, on November 12, 2014, it landed on a comet. This amazing adventure has no utilitarian value. It was enormously expensive. Human beings do such things because we exist for the purpose of gathering knowledge about the nature of the universe, the purpose of exploring, of feeding our curiosity. The most expensive scientific experiment in human history is the Hadron Collider, the world's largest and most powerful particle collider. It allows physicists to test predictions of different theories of particle physics and high energy physics. The collider has no utilitarian value. It is enormously expensive. We do this because we are curious. So how should we use the time we have? I do not insist that you embrace my view of this or be damned. In this church, each of you are free to make up your own mind. However, my own answer is that we should do our part to help the survival of the human race, and that once we solve the problem of survival, we should support the growth of human understanding of life and of the universe. Some of you do this directly by being scientists, or parents of scientists, or teachers of scientists, or librarians who preserve, protect, and make available human knowledge. All of us, though, support this purpose indirectly by paying taxes and by electing leaders who support science, education, and research. Not all of us can be Nobel Prize winners. But we can support the research that leads to new discoveries. Participation in this growth in human knowledge, if only in a small way of supporting those scientists who are out there on the cutting edge, this gives our lives meaning. Life has slowly evolved from one-celled animals to our current wonderful brains. We build microscopes as tools for the sciences of biology and medical research. We put telescopes in outer space so that each generation can learn more about the nature of the universe. Now, why did we evolve to have these large brains that hunger to understand the universe? I do not know. Perhaps as we gain more understanding, at some time in the future, we may find an answer to that question. We are at the beginning of a new year, 2015. I cannot wait to discover what will happen next. Beyond these doors is a whole world full of wonders for us to understand. All around us is a rich, beautiful universe waiting for us to explore. Perhaps you saw the full moon last night as it was rising. I invite you when you go outside, to feel the air, to feel the sunlight against your skin, and to experience this wonderful miracle of being here on this earth, to experience it fully. And I invite you, as always, to be excited about being alive.